special plans you had for Mother's Day and different things that are going on, but I took my wife to Adventureland for Mother's Day. And we went on, we did a mother and dad thing. We took our youngest daughter on a roller coaster. It'll be the last time she goes on one, I'm sure. But I took the opportunity to run with some of the teenage boys and get on some of the rides that they went on, and we hit all the roller coasters. And one of the things I'm worried about is I've got one of these stomachs that just can't handle a lot of this motion type stuff. I can't even watch videos without getting sick, you know. But so I was really concerned about what rides to choose. But I thought the roller coasters, they never did really do much for my stomach. They usually just kind of jerk you around a little bit. So I thought I'd be pretty safe on those. But I come to find out that it's really rough on a body. It's been a while since I've ridden on those things, and it jerks you all over the place. And the second one we went on, the one after we went on with Joy, was the one where it goes the two loops around. And you go the dragon, I think is what it's called. And then you go down, and they tell you to make sure your head is back. So what do? I make all my effort on making sure that head doesn't move. So I'm like this. Well, you know, I didn't have any problem at all with my head going anywhere. The only thing is now I have a stiff neck from trying to keep my head from moving as I went along. I think that probably the best thing you can do on those things is just be the rag doll and just get done with it and recoup later on. Because I tried to fight it too much, and I am sore today because of it. We're glad you are here. I don't know what you have planned for Mother's Day. You ought to try the Adventureland thing. It's really good. It's a great opportunity for Mother's Day. But we want to look at some things concerning peace of mind for moms. How to have a peace of mind for moms. Biblical thinking for mothers and others. We're looking in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8, as we are exhorted by the Apostle Paul. Those of you who have been with us throughout this whole series know that we've been talking about the book of Philippians. And the book of Philippians talks about joy and rejoicing. And one of the key things regarding rejoicing is what's going on inside here that will allow us to be able to have the joy to rejoice. And as we are bringing this together, I thought, well, there's no better time than to come up with this subject for Mother's Day. Because Mother's Day, although it's been around for almost 100 years now, a lot of us have experienced it in a variety of ways, and a lot of people look forward to it, but quite frankly, sometimes there's difficulties associated with Mother's Day. Some folks aren't able to be with their mom during Mother's Day. Some people aren't able to be with their children. And as a result, there's that difficulty of that distance. Sometimes there's things that have ruffled up relationships. Sometimes there's issues that cause motherhood just to be a strain and a frustration. So not always is Mother's Day looked at as just a wonderful thing, as all the cards try to make them out to be. So I realize, in the experiences God has given to me, that the concept of motherhood isn't always looked at as rosy and as beautiful as some of these other things. But it's our opportunity and responsibility to have mothers on our mind today, and to be thinking about them and wanting to do some special things for them. But not only having them on our mind, why don't we take the time today to look and see what might be on the minds of mothers. One of the books that was very helpful to us when our children first came along, it's entitled, And Then I Had Kids. For those of you that went through the same transition we did, you know what we're saying. Life transforms so much. And the author of this book was a lady who's an actress and part-time model and actress. And then all of a sudden these kids came in. And they had kids quite frequently. And they ended up with 5 children, like under 7 or something along that line. So they had plenty of opportunities to see what motherhood was all about. Well, it was from her book. I took some time this week to look through and just rehearse some of the things that she talked about that were difficulties for moms of young children. And so what I'm going to look at today is just a few of those things. Then I'm going to transition to what happens when they get a little older and get in the teenage years and what might be on the minds of moms at that time. And then after they leave, because they never get out of our minds, it seems, our children, and what might be on the minds of moms even after the children leave. But what's on their minds? I'm going to quickly go through some of these things. Maybe you can relate to some of them or maybe think about them today. Number one, how am I going to get everything done? Or will this ever change, or am I going to constantly be doing the same things day in, day out? Why are others doing so much better than me? Yeah. Like everyone else has got the super situation. What is it like to have control? There's a little cartoon that was, you know how they have at the airport and you're ready to get on and they ask you, has anything in your possession ever been out of your control? And the mom says, nothing with my luggage, but my kids, yes. Do I really accomplish anything with all the work that I do? How about this? Am I a good mother or wife? Am I doing the right things? Why do I have to do everything? And what is adult conversation really like? And will I ever be able to do what I want to do? Well, we transition a little bit to a few others as they get a little older. How can we communicate? Thought it was hard when they're younger, but doesn't necessarily get any easier when they get older at times. Are they listening to me? Why are they so different? Why have they changed? At one stage, we wonder why they aren't changing enough, and then when they all of a sudden, boom, they change. Why are they so different now? Did I deal with that the right way in dealing with a situation? How will they turn out? And again, going back to maybe that third one, maybe I should have such and such when they were younger. How do I correct them? And then this one, what decisions do I leave to them as they go through that transition time? Now, after they're gone, what's on their minds? Why don't they call more often? Do they have that problem because of us? Do they need help? Am I intruding? Why do they take us for granted? And will we always remain close? There's just a few things that might go through our minds. And as I took those things and kind of just boiled them all down, I put them into seven different categories. There's more things than this, and you maybe thought of some other things as well. But the whole idea is just to get our thinking process going through, because this wonderful opportunity to be mom and this great impact it can have in the world does come along with it some battles that take place in the mind as it goes through this process of motherhood. But I've put them in these seven different things, and I'll just go through them. And what we're going to call this improper attempted remedies is what this comes under. But I'm going to look at each of the seven and look at sometimes what we may attempt to do to try to overcome them, and then look what we might miss out as a result of attempting doing this way. This is basically, again, just give us some ideas and set the groundwork for when we move into looking at God's Word. Number one would be the issues of doubt, wondering if we're doing things right or if we did things right. Second of all would be regret, looking back and thinking, well, should I have done this or should I have done that? And I wish that I hadn't done this or I wish I hadn't done that. Maybe there are some things that were sins that we've committed as individuals. Or maybe there are things that happened to us that we regret had to happen. Thirdly, comparison. You see some of those questions reflecting comparison, comparing our schedule with others. Sometimes it gets really a little testy when we start comparing, when a mom starts comparing her schedule with her husband's, and they get a little conflict there. Comparing with others that might either be in the workforce, not in the workforce, and that issue of looking and comparing at what others have. Comparing to see those that seem to be doing so much better. The longing. Longing for peace, longing for quiet, longing for control, longing for doing what I want to do, longing for things to come together, longing for the money to be there, not have to pinch every penny. All those various longings that might be there. Resentment. The sacrifice that goes with parenting or other things. The resentment might come in, or being taken for granted. Boredom. The same old thing. We had the opportunity to have our children fairly close together. So we had several children who were very young. And it was quite a blessing. But, you know, I had the opportunity to go off to the ministry and deal with all the exciting changes and such that go along with ministry. But Marty many times was stuck at home. I use the word stuck at home because sometimes that's the way it gets in our mind. That's not the reality, but that's the way it feels sometimes. And as cabin fever starts developing, and the desire just to want to get out, and another load of diapers that need to be done, or some more dishes that need to be done, or more toys that need to be picked up, and the same thing that just keeps going over and over again. And then finally, just confusion. What is there that should be done? How do I know what to do? So many voices coming from different ways, how you can do it. And folks, that is so true. If you keep up with the different media voices, they'll tell you one era of time that you should do this, and another era of time, they'll totally take that back and say it's not supposed to be done that way. And forth and back, and you wonder, well, which is right? And that confusion is there. Let's look at some things that are done to deal with doubt. Number one, I have doubt whether to do it. They just tell you, have more faith in yourself. Just believe in yourself. Just have a little more faith in yourself and things will go better. Second one, regret. Just forget it and move on. Just forget it and move on. That's how you can take care of those things that are haunting you. Just forget it and move on. Comparison. Oh, don't worry about everybody else. They all have their faults too. So don't think about them. That always works, doesn't it? Longing and desiring and just wanting. Well, you need to take care of number one. Take care of yourself. You deserve it. Go ahead. Take care of it. And when you do, you feel guilty. Resentment. Just vent your anger. Can't do it at the kids? Well, guess who gets it? You probably know. Okay. Boredom. Well, you just need to get a life. You know, get a life. Get out and do something. You do something different. Unfortunately, the things are still back there that need to be done while you're getting a life out there somewhere. Confusion. Oh, well, just listen to the majority. You know, you just turn on the TV and find out what all the moms on this program say to do, and it'll take care of all the confusion until you turn on the TV and find out what this group of moms say to do. Let's look at what that does cause for difficulties if you take those suggestions. Number one, if we have doubt, we just have more faith in ourselves, what do we miss out in relationship to God? Is faith in God and trusting in Him. Regret, we just try to forget it and move on. We don't understand the full implication and benefits of the concept of forgiveness and having God cleanse our soul and allow us to be free from those sins. Comparison. Oh, yeah, we can have look at the faults of others and try to think of them more poorly, then that might make us feel good, but that causes us to miss out on the blessing of love. Fourthly, emphasis on longing and taking care of number one causes us to miss out on contentment that God may want us to have. And then resentment, to vent your anger, may cause us to miss out on that reality of mercy that God wants to work through us. Boredom, go get a life. Get away from it. Just run from it. Might cause us to miss out on faithfulness and the benefits of that. Confusion, listen to the majority, find a good book, get something that's going to give you the right answers. Might cause us to miss out on what God's Word says and give us a creative way of dealing with these biblical things. Let's look at what God's plan is. First of all, I want to just establish that God does have a plan for mind. We'll not develop this too much today. We'll develop this more next week when we get together. But I just want to highlight some of these verses. First of all, Romans 12:2 tells us that we can indeed renew our minds. That we can have an impact on what our minds are like. And if we have a habit of responding a certain way in our thinking, that we can indeed choose to renew those minds. Renew our minds. Colossians 3:2 says that we can have the option of setting our mind on things that are above instead of things on the earth. That we can indeed choose, again, what we're going to be thinking about. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us that there is a warfare that goes on. We touched on this, I believe, last week. We talked about the warfare. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, that we can indeed control these thought processes. And in Philippians 4:8, meditate on these things, as we'll look at more further. And let's look at that Philippians 4:8. I want to look at the different items that it says for us to think on or meditate on. We're going to just cover a few of those this morning and then get more of them next week when we get together. Because these things are powerful to help us in our thinking process. Because a lot of people I deal with individuals that are saying, I don't know what to do about my thought life. I don't know how to have victory over my thoughts. There's a lot of mothers that are struggling with doing what they know to do because they get discouraged. One of the things that I found to be true, and I've read this elsewhere, that there's some correlations between the stay-at-home mom and the pastor. One of those fruit issues or things that come out is that you tend to see a lot of discouragement, despondency, down, wore out, frustration in the lives of stay-at-home moms. And you tend to see that too in the lives of pastors. And why is that? I think it's because there's some correlations. Because stay-at-home moms, when they're dealing with young children, one of their responsibilities is to try to set their own schedule and try to develop how they're going to get everything done and how that they're going to make sure they're ministering to each one in the family. And then when they start fighting, try to find a way to patch them up and help them to get through the issues. And then there's that concern about how they're going to be when they grow up. And all those things are things I can identify as a pastor. As I think about the sheep that I want to shepherd and the desires that I have for them and the confrontations that come in the heart and the need to discipline the mind in these different things we're going to be talking about. So when we look at these areas in Philippians 4:8, I kind of have an idea of what some moms go through. As we look at some of the temptations to fall into some of these thought processes that are not beneficial for us. Let's look at Philippians 4:8. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Kind of look at each of these words individually. I've taken the time to put together a sketch for you. As you can see, I was going to be an illustrator, but I decided instead of being a medical illustrator, I became a pastor. Okay, but that is a brain. Okay, and in the brain, we're going to be looking at these different words that we're going to touch on. The first one is the word true. I'm just going to touch on it real quickly as we look at the word true. True is that emphasis of proven, that which is established. The idea of the word is that which is uncovered, opposite of that which is veiled or that which has been buried. Okay? So God is talking about, we're supposed to be thinking about those things that are proven, established, or as Jesus had used this in the Gospel of John, he's talking about his testimony being true, revealed, sound. Whatever things are noble, that's the honorable things. This word usually used to talk about our character, also used in connection with the concept of being sober. It's used to describe the deacons and their wives in their ministry, and that noble, honorable character. Thirdly, the word just is that which is appropriate. Word is used many times to talk about whether you made the appropriate decision or not. It's that weighing of different things and making sure we come out with that which is the appropriate item to choose. Lovely. What that means is to be friendly toward. It's two words put together to give us the word lovely, only used here. It's the only place you'll find it in the Scripture. To be friendly towards. To love towards. That's thinking and regarding to things and people, to be lovely towards them. Good report. This word comes together from the idea of euphemisms. You've probably heard of those before. Something that's euphemism is that finding a better word for something that's really not a good way to say it. And so you come up with a euphemism that is a nice word to say something that's something about That's not really that good. And that's where we get this word from, is from the Greek word where we find the word good report. So in the idea, if you can think of sometimes euphemisms are used for not so nice words, the same correlation is sometimes we have a tendency of thinking about things not so much nice, and that we need to step it up and think about the good report concerning it. What are those things, a better way to think through something? And then finally, the word or virtue is that of excellent and praiseworthy, is commendable and excitement. Now, I'd love to be able to say that these things take place in those places of your brain, and all you have to do is just rub them, okay? And if you just rub it, it'll work, you know, but that's not true. But I just put them in the various places so you can just get an idea that if you can keep these things in your brain, and they kind of work as a grid when you put these together, and we'll talk more in detail about them next week when we get together and how to web them together. But we're going to use a few of them today just to approach some of the things we've already talked about regarding what's going on in the minds of moms. But if you just imagine them as a grid to help us to filter out the things that come in and want to go on in our minds. And we'll find that these things can be very helpful in fine-tuning that which we are thinking. It's almost a process of taking those thoughts and they mold them and they move them and they change them and they transform them to be those thoughts that are actually what we call renewed, as in Romans 12:2, that the thinking is changed by thinking on these things. Because look at the emphasis, meditate on these things. That concept of meditating is to allow it to constantly go through your mind, to think over and over on that. Okay, so let's use this little grid, applying three for moms is what I call it. How are we to think? Love, true, lovely, and of good report are three that I've chosen. You can use different ones on it. But I just want to walk through these various things and try to give us some ideas of how that we can think through something a little bit better when these temptations come. And again, the reason I call this for mothers and others, because I think each of these seven things that we're going to talk about are things that don't apply just to moms. I think they're things that each of us wrestle with one time or another in our lives and getting our thinking together. What do we do when we doubt? When we don't know for sure whether what we're doing is right. If we use the truth, if we're thinking true, we need to find the facts. Many times what causes us to doubt is that we depend upon not facts. We depend upon fuzzy things. We depend upon what we think might be out there. We tend to come to conclusions and jump to conclusions on some different things. This is very, very applicable when we start seeing breakdown or meltdown in relationships. When we don't know for sure what that other person's thinking, but we're pretty sure. Many, many, many years ago, when we were still in Iowa, before we moved to Indiana, Marty and I were, this is before kids even, so that's how long it was. We were in our little apartment, and I can remember one night, something happened. I don't exactly remember the details of it, but I became unhappy with Marty. And I thought that she was being mean to me, and so I decided to leave. And so I went for a walk. I went for a long walk. The longer I walked, the more I started thinking about how unnice that she was. And I started thinking all these different things. Not one bit of truth was being anointed on any of these thoughts. They were all things that I was just making up as I went along. And folks, I got to the point where I was getting almost intoxicated by this. As a matter of fact, I ran into my brother one time on this walk, as I'd walked a long ways. And it was at night, about 10 o'clock at night. And he wasn't sure whether I was sober or not. And I've never drunk anything at all. I mean, that's how bad I looked in that scenario. I was so consumed with these thoughts. And as I wandered along, I finally came back home. And I said, well, I'm going to sleep in the car. Okay. I'm going to sleep in the car and... And as I thought that, I thought, well, it's a nice night out here, but why should I sleep in a car? I pay rent on that apartment. So I come in, and as I come in, I'm thinking, well, okay, well, we'll just space this then. We'll talk about how mean she is and all that kind of stuff, and I'll just let her, we'll deal with it. I'm supposed to be mature here. And so I walk in, and all this stuff has been building up, and as I open the door, she's been sitting at the sink, and she turns around and smiles at me and says, "Did you have a nice walk?" Did I have a nice walk? This woman's clueless. She doesn't understand everything I've gone through this last 25 to 30 minutes wandering aimlessly around this community, thinking everything but true, and having a one-sided argument by filling in all the blanks of everything that I thought she was thinking. And it all could have been remedied by, instead of taking and turning the corner to go outside, to turn and go and talk to her and say, "I'm concerned about something. Can you fill in the blanks? Can you give me some information? Can we speak the truth in love and deal with this problem?" And I would have saved myself a lot of walking. I would have saved my mind from going through a lot of terrible thinking. But I think God allowed it to happen so that I can every once in a while humble myself and share it as an illustration, to maybe use it as a tool to help others see that that's how easy it can happen. How easy it can happen that we can jump to conclusions and we can develop our own one-sided argument about everything and not give that other person the benefit of the doubt or even an opportunity to defend themselves, because we have already stated their arguments for them and developed all those things because we did not focus on facts. We did not try to find out the facts. We did not look for the good in the other person. We did not try to think of good report. All we wanted to do was feast on all those false, fuzzy things that came into our minds and allowed it to continue going. Same thing can happen for regret. The truth of forgiveness. Beautiful passages in the Scripture. We don't have time to develop them today. But there's individuals who deal with hanging on to things in their life that God never intended for them to hang on to. Like giant backpacks that just hang on their shoulders as they go through life. And it's so hard to smile, and it's so hard to have joy, and it's so hard to jump and to skip and to enjoy life when you have all these things on your back. But God has given us the truth of forgiveness to help us overcome regret. He has also given us the opportunity to look at the good in today. So many people are so caught up in the past that they don't even see what God has provided for today. Have you ever thought to sit down and write out, what has God done for me lately? What are some of the blessings of today? What is He doing? What are the potentials? What is out there? What has He set before me that I can get excited about? Instead of constantly having to go back to regrets and things. That is not thinking true, living in a life of regret. That is not thinking honorable. It's not thinking noble. It's not thinking any of these things that we have. It is sliding back into things that keep us from moving forward. The comparison. I think a lot of it has to come down with true measurements. What are we truly to compare ourselves with? So many times we want to compare ourselves with other individuals, and God says that isn't the point. Compare yourself with my word. Compare yourself with the character of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Take out the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, and how do you measure up to those? Don't worry about those other individuals that are out there that you want to compare yourself. Another thing is, recognize what true envy is. Sometimes we like to camouflage it. We don't like to accept the fact that the way we look at other people actually is a sinful attitude of envy. And we wish that we had what they had. And sometimes we wish they had what we have. And let them live what we live. You walk a few miles in my moccasins. See how much you smile then? Kind of an attitude. Sinful attitude. Not loving at all. Not motivated by love for our neighbors, love for other individuals. How about the concept of longing? Oh, we just want. And it's so easy to get into that where we just see what we don't have and we see what we should have and things we used to have. That's the hard thing. To experience something, the freedoms to go, and then all of a sudden, they're taken away from us. We may not have the money to spend like we used to. We may not have the time to invest as we used to. And it's so easy to be like the Israelites after they got out of Egypt. They want to go back to those wonderful leek and onion salad gardens that they had. You know, they just wanted to go back to that, and they didn't realize that they were not appreciating what God had provided. They were not being grateful. They're not being thankful. And to look what true fulfillment is. Too many times we're looking at what our felt needs are. I need this, I need that. And we rarely go into the Scriptures and find out what does God say we need? What does God say that should be in our life? And we need that truth, those true thinkings, to help us know how to fulfill these longings. Resentment. Finding out what true mercy is and true forgiveness. Again, on our side, when we might be holding grudges against other individuals, and whenever, and folks, this happens to be one of the grids that so easily messes up our minds. When we have a resentment grid, it doesn't matter what a person does. They can do something super nice for us, but how do we interpret it? Oh, they're just being nice so that they can get something from me, right? Oh, they're just being nice, but it won't last very long. They'll be back to their same old self as they were before. Why? Because we continually hold against them that condemnation, that they're always going to be that way, and they will never change, and they have no hope to change. Folks, how would we like that handed onto us? How would we like to be judged that way? How would you like to make mistakes and have people to say, you're always going to be that way? How would you like to forget something and have everybody label you, oh, there's a person that can't remember anything. They'll forget their head if it wasn't screwed on. And now you hear over and over again, they're going to be forgetting that. Or they're always late. Well, we got to plan it. We got to tell them it's 15 minutes early because, you know, so we can get there on time. We condemn them. There may be habits that they have, but it is not our right to hold those types of resentments and things towards people. That's the concept of confronting, seeking forgiveness, granting forgiveness, to clear it up so you can start over again. Boredom. This one is just kind of looking at getting things in perspective. You know, the world is really wrestling right now as to the investment of mommyhood. Okay? I know it's quite a debate that's going on. A lot of mothers are coming out of the workforce now, going into the homes. And so a lot of things are going on research-wise to find out what is going on. Most recent thing I read is that they're saying that if you choose to stay at home with your children, you are losing about $1 million. That's what they're saying. Okay? I think through that. I think, well, okay, they've got some figures they're doing with that. But then again, another one will say, well, you know, an individual mom who might be working out there and making $25,000 a year, by the time she figures out all her other expenses and all that kind of stuff, she's bringing home $2 an hour. So you got all these different ideas of what the society, what the world wants to say about different things, and there's guilt, and there's a lot of things we wrestle with these ideas that go on. What should I do? What should I do? And quite frankly, when it comes down to recognizing the value of being a mom, that investment, that boredom, is recognizing that the good aspect and the impact that might be there. I heard on the radio just recently that in some countries, they develop the value of what a stay-at-home mom is. They don't do that in the United States, but they do it in some of the other countries. And they said that in those particular cases, those individuals who stay at home add to the economy 45% of the economy. And I don't know how they figured that, but I mean, it's just some different ways in which they've looked at these various things. And I share all this just to let you know this is a concept that is debated and thrown around. But what we need to do is find out, what does God's Word say about being a mom? And what does He say? Does God say being a mom is important or not? And is my value on whether or not I'm saving $1 million or bringing in $1 million, or whether I'm able to handle having a career and mom being a mom too? And those are the things that's not the important thing. The important thing is sitting down and saying, am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I being obedient to the Scriptures? Am I comparing with that? Not with what the world is doing, not with that. And to get through that boredom, and also, I guess, get through that confusion, that final one, is that we're not going to find the answers by listening to the late night radio, and we're not going to find the answers by picking up the latest book. We're not going to find the answers by going to a seminar or sitting around with a bunch of moms and talking. The answers are going to come from the Word of God. God's Word is where the answer is, and it ought to drive us into that. So, mothers and others, what are we to meditate on? I'm just going to summarize with these 5 points. What God says, not what people say. Our emphasis ought to be that we develop our thinking on what God says, not what people say. And the only way we can do that is constantly allowing the Word of God to work through us and to be in our lives. And one of the things that I want to share about that, some people get a good diet of the Word, but they're not doing things to allow the Word to work in and through their lives so that they're being practicing doing the Word. So it's being that consistent, not only a hearer of the Word, but also a doer. What will lead to purity and nobility? These are 2 words we hadn't covered yet. But when you think about your thoughts, are your thoughts leading to purity and nobility? Many times they aren't. They're running rampant in the opposite direction. They're breaking up drudge as much as they can and developing as much stink as it can. And we need to know better than that, for the Bible tells us differently. Is what I'm thinking about drawing others in love and drawing a more loving attitude towards other people, or is it pushing me apart from them? Fourthly, what presents the good report? As I think about a particular issue, am I thinking to give the benefit of the doubt of this particular issue and trying to give the good report of it, or am I purposefully accepting the negative report as readily as we can? And finally, he says, what emotes praise? What, after I'm done thinking, will get me a little excited about God? That might be one of the reasons why we cannot or choose not to have a life that rejoices, is because we keep in our mind those things that when we're done thinking it, the last thing we have in our mind to do is say, praise God. Because we've been thinking about all the yucky things that just aren't going right. And, you know, to try to say praise God after you've gone through all that, it's very difficult. But God says, whatever is praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And I guess that if there's anything that I can do to encourage us in regard to our relationship with other people, if you're in a situation where you might be away from your children or away from your spouse, and sometimes when you get together, it tends to be an issue of conflict, and people grate on each other. Can I suggest that before you get together, that you purposefully start thinking on praiseworthy things, so that when you see the other individual, that the front of your mind is on praiseworthy and not on something that is opposite of that? Because quite frankly, you take 2 individuals that are going to come together after long, stressful, hard days of work in their various areas of toil, and they get together thinking about how rotten people are at work and how terrible they are and how they wanted to tell that person off and they just can't wait to be alone, and they see the our loved ones don't stand a chance in that type of environment. But if we change gears and we don't count on chilling out once we get home, because sometimes it doesn't work that way, we count on chilling out on the way home and thinking, well, I'm going home. I'm going home to a place people love me. God has given to me a wonder, you know, and just start thinking and playing through those different things that are praiseworthy. And you see each other, you rejoice. You might shock each other a few times doing that, but rejoicing and being glad in what God has done. Well, all these things are really possible if we have the Lord Jesus Christ working in our life. And one of the things that is crucial to that is to seek God. We want to close our time together. If you'd stand with me, please. We want to sing this chorus that reminds us of that. And to seek first the kingdom of God. A lot of these things we talk about are worries that we hang on to. That we wonder how it's going to work out. But God has encouraged us. And if you look at this concept of seeking first the kingdom of God, You'll find out it's not just some platitude that God has given to us. It's not just some easy phrase that you use. It is a discipline of the mind, folks, and it takes a lot of work to choose to think on those things which are God's righteousness and are truth. And I want to encourage you that we need to seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all those things that seem to be taken over our minds will be dealt with accordingly. Let's sing that chorus, Seek Ye First.